What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
The light bulbs are going off in my head.
This is like deep.
I just haven't thought of it that way.
It's mind-blowing to me. I don't know if I've ever had anybody put it that plainly to me before.
All this time I've been going to church, this never resonated with me.
This is Transform. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we are talking through self-image today, a biblical understanding of yourself. Self-image is everywhere. It's in marketing. It's as we're driving our car. It's not just in what you see. It's in how you see yourself described. Self-image is everywhere. You know, how do you define yourself and how do you view you? What's important to note about self-image is that all of you have an image of yourself. So you as an individual listener, you maybe have never sat down and done like a character sketch and said, oh, this is who I am and this is who I see myself to be. But the reality is that you do have an image of yourself and you do view yourself a certain way. I want to talk about that in today's episode. And I want to start with Herod. Bum, bum, bum. All right, you're like, wait a minute. Where does this go? I just want to read to you briefly from Acts chapter 12. I think Herod is an interesting type when we look at a wrong self-conception, a wrong understanding. I think you could do the same thing with Nebuchadnezzar. But look at what the text says about Herod in Acts chapter 12. Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. This most likely happened in Caesarea. He speaks to the crowd. He's got on these fancy clothes, which would have been the equivalent of like this royal garb, but also clothes that were suggesting he's more than he was, maybe even a deity or claiming to be a deity. So then you see verse 22, the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." It seems like Herod believes that about himself as well, exalting himself, enjoying the attention, enjoying this inflated view of himself. And we know people can be fickle, so are they cheering him on because they want him to work with them, give him food, or do they really believe this about him? You know, that's up for debate. But look what happens next. Verse 23, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Herod believed the chant. He believed that he was more than he really was. And God humbled him to the point of death, sent an angel to actually kill him and to punish him. You know, part of the work of an angel is that they do the work of God. They minister judgments. And when you read Samuel, for instance, you see that David's census brings with it a judgment, and an angel kills up to 70,000 people moving toward Jerusalem. So angels have this strength and great power, and that's happening here for Herod, that he is judged by this angel for exalting himself, having this inflated view of who he was. Self-conception can be high, overly high. A Herod type would be a good example of that. Nebuchadnezzar would be another example where he believes he's done it all. I have built this great city. I have done all of these fabulous things that you see before you, when in reality, that's an overly inflated view of yourself. But self-image can also be low. It can be overly low at times. I am worthless. I'm annoying. Nobody loves me. I might as well not be here. I don't contribute. I'm a bother to my family. Self-image in the end is when you're getting at how do you view yourself? How do you view yourself? And generally speaking, it can be high, it can be low. But when we talk about your view of yourself, we're just getting at self-image. So think of that term just as kind of this self-defining, like self-evident rather. You are understanding who you are. When I ask you that, who you are, usually that's the way you introduce yourself. So if I were to say, hey, my name is Greg Gifford, the way I answer that is often how I view myself first. And I have to be careful with that. Just to be candid, sometimes I'll say, I am the host of the best podcast of all time. No, I'm just kidding. But I do believe that. But when I think about how I introduce myself, if I say I'm a professor, hey, my name is Greg Gifford, I'm a professor. Is that who I am fundamentally? Is that how I see myself? For some of you, it's your relationships. Your relationship is how you identify yourself. And in North American culture, not as much as maybe in a tribal culture, but it's I'm the son of so-and-so or the daughter of. Some of you see yourself based off your relationship as a parent. So I am a stay-at-home mom, you might say. The way you introduce yourself is often a great indicator of how you view yourself and how you identify. So I'm a professor. A lot of us identify ourselves by our work or by our relationships. I'm a dad, a mom, a son, or a daughter. Some of us, we see ourselves through a very therapeutic lens. So I am a struggler of ADHD, depression, PTSD. I am a victim of, or I'm a survivor of. And when we talk about the struggle that you may have, the way you answer who you are is going to be a great indicator for you. So just answer that. And just how do you introduce yourself? And the way you do that is going to be indicative of your self-image. So when we say self-image, I want to just give you a working definition of how you view yourself or how you think about yourself. I'm not even going to get to the judgment yet, because there is a judgment aspect. You know, Dr. Priolo, Lou Priolo, he wrote a book called How to Overcome Inferiority Judgments, Self-Image, How to Overcome Inferiority Judgments. That is really applicable to those that have a low view of themselves and they're deeming themselves not worthy. But that would technically be the next step. And by the way, if you're looking to find that book, you can go on transform.org. We have it. It's a short booklet loaded into the bookstore now. How to overcome an inferiority judgment is the next step after just identifying self-image. Self-image. Self-image is the precursor to judgment. So when you're judging whether it's right or inaccurate, that is based off of your self-image. So what is the self-image? Just simply how you view yourself, how you think about yourself. So if you've ever thought, I am worthless and annoying, I bother everyone around me, that's a self-image statement. That's the way you view yourself. If you've ever said, I'm the best, y'all are lucky to be around me. Did you see the movie Moana, where Maui goes, you're welcome? Some of us, we view ourselves that way. Like, hey, you are lucky to be around us. And I am so much better, so much more competent than you. When we talk about how you view yourself, it's just simply that. And for some of us, it's inflated. For some of us, it's deflated or a very low view of ourselves. So let me orient you to the goal. Are you ready for it? I grew up in the 80s in self-esteem and the self-esteem movement. Let me correct that. My parents started parenting me in the 80s. I was born in the 80s. So I don't want to insinuate I was born in the 70s. So I was born in the 80s, and my parents were parenting in a generation of self-esteem. My worldview shifted dramatically when I learned all of the trophies I had as a kid were participation trophies. I actually kept them for some years. So I had a baseball trophy, basketball trophy. And then whenever I went back to the pictures of when we were awarded those trophies, everyone on the team got the same trophy. And it wasn't because we had a winning team. I say that because my parents were taught to help your kid have a positive image of themselves, build up their self-esteem. But the answer to self-image is not that you want to have a high self-image. It's that you want to have a God-honoring self-image. Do you see the difference? You see, an unbiblical and a worldly view starts to say, oh, you're so pretty. Whoa. Oh, he's lucky to be with you. You go, girl. You're so pretty. Hey, dude, look, she'd be lucky to get to date you because you're so smart. You work hard. Like, she should be thankful. Those are unbiblical responses to self-image, because our goal is not to have an inflated view and a high view of ourselves. We actually just want to see ourselves the way God sees us. So think of pride as an inflated view of you. Think of humility as an accurate view of you. You can be proud and still have a consumption with yourself. You're consumed with your view of yourself. I actually think there are some people that fish for comments and affirmation by talking about how bad they are. I look so ugly in this dress. And everyone's like, no, you don't. Oh my goodness. No, you're so beautiful. No, I'm not. Well, you can still be a prideful, self-centered person and have a quote unquote low view of yourself because you're just looking for people to plus you up, to affirm you, to make you feel better about yourself. And just because you're humble doesn't mean you have a lowly view of yourself. So don't think smarmy or slimy. Don't think like this unbathed, unkempt person. Think of that humble self-image as one that's accurate according to God's word, not lowly or not self-loathing. So what is our goal with self-image? As you hear this, I want you to think, what's your goal? Well, my goal is not to be like, oh yeah, I'm awesome. Oh, I could lift more weights than him. I'm so handsome. That's not our goal. Our goal is to say, God, we want to think about ourselves the way you think about us. Not a high view, not a low view, but we want to have a biblical self-image. Biblical, according to your word, help us to understand the way you view us so we match what we believe about ourselves with what God says about us. So that's our goal. Unilaterally, that's our goal. Not high, not low, but biblical or accurate. And for it to be accurate, it must be biblical. So we got to do this. Let's take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to pick up with how to address self-image issues. So we'll be right back.
All right. Well, we will be back with the second half of this episode of Transformed and Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And I hope you've been finding today's episode on self-image as challenging and enlightening as I have. And that's the reason that I want to share a couple of things with you. One in particular, I want to highlight a fantastic book that you can find in the Transform store at transform.org. It's a book by Jay Adams. And Jay Adams, if you didn't know, is pretty much the godfather of biblical counseling. His book, The Biblical View of Self-Esteem, Self-Love, and Self-Image, is absolutely crucial if you're finding yourself struggling in this area. His work here tackles the big questions: who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And Dr. Adams brings much needed clarity to the concept of self-esteem. And he offers us believers a truly biblical perspective on self. So if you're looking to deepen your understanding of how God views you, this book will be invaluable to you. I highly recommend you picking up The Biblical View of Self-Esteem, Self-Love, and Self-Image by Jay Adams, and you can find it right now at transformed.org. Now, I want to shift gears a bit and take a moment to share an opportunity with you. As you know, producing Transformed, as well as our other resources, Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Worldview, it requires significant time, effort, and financial support. And we're only able to continue doing this important work through the generous contributions and partnerships of our gospel partners. So if you've been blessed by Transform or any of our other resources, then I would ask if you would prayerfully consider joining us as a gospel partner. Your support allows us to continue producing biblically sound content that addresses real life issues from a Christ-centered perspective. However, I do want to emphasize something. I want to emphasize that this decision should be made thoughtfully and responsibly. We definitely welcome and want you and desire you as a gospel partner, but only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church or you're not strapped with any kind of debt. Take some time, reflect on what partnering with us might look like in your life, pray about it, talk to your spouse about it, and only move forward if you are legitimately free to do so. And you can get the answers to any questions you might have at transformed.org. All right, well, let's jump back in now to Dr. Gifford. I feel like we've been away from him far too long. Let's get back to Dr. Gifford as he continues unpacking the biblical perspective on self-image. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
It's inevitable that a high view of self leads to something God resists, like pride. When we acknowledge that we are nothing, that's when Christ becomes our everything.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for the resources and the kind words, sir. For those of you that don't know or you have not visited it yet, we have an online bookstore, transform.org. So go check it out. There's some free resources that I've put up there as well. So check it out. It's a place where you can go and really just trust the resources that are available. So all that to say, back to self-image. How do you view you? Some of us view ourselves from 20 years ago. I could throw a football a quarter mile. How do you view you? And when we answer that question, that is your self-image. Some of you, as you're listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've struggled with self-image issues most of your life. And when you struggle with the self-image, that usually means that you struggle to have an accurate view, feeling and understanding who you are in Christ and the boldness that comes with that, the confidence in who you are. Some of you have had an inflated view of yourself and you've had to be humbled. You had your own Nebuchadnezzar, hopefully not Herod type of experience, but your own Nebuchadnezzar where God had to humble you and remind you that you are not everything. You don't have all of the gifts. So whether that is you as a high view or a low view, in this last segment, I want to help equip you just with some practical thoughts about addressing your self-image. And I would think too, as you're surrounded by people that are working on self-image, that these last tidbits might be helpful for them to share with them at some point in God's timing. So number one, I'd like you to grab your Bible and let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, this is the section where Paul talks about giftedness. I think it's a good habit for you guys to use a hard copy Bible. You've heard me mention that on different times. Feel free to use your phone when you're on the go, but really when you're sitting down to study the scripture, find a good hard copy Bible. That way you're familiar with where it's located, learning the books of the Bible and so forth. So Romans 12, if you have a free hand, you're not driving right now, then grab your hard copy Bible. Let's go to Romans 12. So you know verse 1 and 2, present your bodies, don't be conformed, be transformed, yes. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. There it is. That's the nail on the head. Paul is saying, how do you think about yourself? You think about yourself soberly. Don't think of yourself more highly. So based off of Paul's authority as an apostle and the grace given to him to be called to be an apostle, he's telling the Romans, don't think more highly of yourself. Think with sober judgment or a sober evaluation examination. Literally, the term is sober thinking. So don't think highly, have sober or sound or accurate thoughts. And then look at the last part of verse 3. How do you have accurate thoughts about yourself? You ready for it? Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Boom, shakalaka. That's it. How do you have an accurate self-image, a sober judgment of yourself? You have to think about yourself the way God sees you. God defines who you are, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. God is the authority over your self-image. If you have a self-image that is contradictory to the way God sees you, then your self-image is wrong. There's a myriad of implications for that. Transgenderism has been the most recent where we would say, hey, your gender identity and gender at birth, those can't be a mismatch. You have to see yourself the way that God sees you. Yes, check, but also tease that out into maybe a bit more domesticated Christian struggles. Some of you see yourself as worthless and you see yourself as such a nuisance or an annoyance to those that are around you. Just because you see yourself that way doesn't mean you're the authority. You're not the authority. Praise God. Your self-judgment has not been great. And we have to say, loosen your grip on that because you're not the authority. God is the authority. In the next few verses in Romans 12, Paul's going to explain who you are in the body of Christ and that there are different members and different gifts within that body. You have to learn who you are based off of what God says, not who you identify yourself to be or how you view yourself. The first point that I want you to consider is that self-image is an issue of authority. Self-image is an issue of authority. Who is the boss? Who's the boss? The baby? The bulls? All right, I'll stop. Sorry, but seriously, instead of me just saying, you're so pretty, oh, he's so lucky to date you, we have to say, and who defines you? And if your image of yourself is wrong, what do you do about that? That is the authority of the scripture. So if you really do believe that God is the boss, he is the sovereign creator of all, he is the mighty one, then that means that his word is the authority. We believe in the authority of the scripture. We believe in the inerrancy, sufficiency, and inspiration. So God's word is the final rule of faith and practice of everything in our life. So your view of yourself is not the boss. Praise God. Praise God. Seriously, this brings hope. My view of myself is not the boss. And if it's inflated or deflated, my view of myself is not the boss. It's what God says about me in his word. Listener, you need to hear that. Self-image is about authority. Start with the authority of the scripture and God defining who you are. then begin to say, and what does God say? So number one, self-image is an issue of authority. Number two, a wrong self-image can be high or low. A wrong self-image can be overly low. Now, some of us, we're really big on the depravity of mankind. We're really big on the fallenness of man. We will cite Jeremiah 17:9, our heart is desperately sick. We will cite, there is none righteous, no, not one. There are none who seek him. All have gone astray. We will cite those, and sometimes what comes across as if man has no dignity and people have no dignity. That's not necessarily true. So I am all about the reality of total depravity and total inability. I'm all about that. That's what the scripture teaches. But it doesn't mean that you should have a low view of your own value and your own dignity. You're the image of God. You're in the image of God. As a believer, you have gifts. God has placed you in the body. You have certain roles he has entrusted to you as a husband or a wife or a child. And when you think about those things, there's dignity to your life. So if you think you're the worst person, then just remember that that's not necessarily true. Sure, you have sin in your life, but it doesn't mean that you have zero dignity. So the goal, if you think you're the worst person, the goal is not to think that you're better, but to understand your dignity in Christ and have the confidence that comes with knowing who you are in Christ. So an overly low view, I find, is often true in those that are really big on the hamartiology or the doctrine of sin, like you're a worm, you're lowly, you're a scattered like sheep. Yes, those are true, but don't forget that you can have an overly low view of yourself that is not biblical. And then, of course, you can have a high view. Most of us know this about the high view. It's haughtiness. It's looking down. It's condescension. It's pridefulness. We don't appreciate that. Most of us don't like prideful people. As an unbeliever or as a believer, no one loves to be around a condescending person. So that inflated view of yourself is an inaccurate self-image. So high and low can also be inaccurate views. Okay, next. So that's number two. So number one was self-image is an issue of authority. Number two is a wrong self-image can be either high or low. Number three, what can you be according to the Bible? Who are you, to say it another way? I think there's two general categories for how you view yourself. It's either in Christ or outside of Christ. You're in Christ. That's who you are. That's your fundamental identity. That's how you view yourself. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You're seated with him, or you are outside of Christ. There are other terms to capture this idea. In Christ, new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, new man, Ephesians 4:24. This is who you are now. When Paul says that he died, Galatians 2:20. His old nature, his old man has died, but Christ now lives through him. That is who he is. That's how he views himself. That's his identity. So what's the alternative? Well, it's not that I'm either in Christ or I'm a Baptist. No, that's not the way it works. Or I'm in Christ or I'm EV free. That's not the way that it works. It's I'm in Christ or I'm outside of Christ. And to be outside of Christ is to really say, am I in the faith? Romans 5 would say you're still in Adam, you're not in Christ. Or Ephesians 4:22, you're the old man, or you're the old creation still. When you fundamentally understand yourself and view yourself, these are the two overarching categories. Am I outside of Christ or am I in Christ? And the only way to be in Christ is by faith in Christ alone. That's what saves you. And when you are saved, you are then adopted into the family of God, and you are now in Christ, secure in Christ. And then read Ephesians 1. You see all of the blessings that come with that, the inheritance, the promise of the Holy Spirit, redemption, forgiveness, predestination. All of that comes with being in Christ. So what can you be? You can be that. Consider this. You cannot be your sin. You are not identified by your sin as a Christian. And that's important, especially for those of you that have habitual sins. Don't see yourself as a recovering addict of this. Don't see yourself as your sin. See yourself as being in Christ and meditate on that truth. If that's fuzzy to you, you need to go back to that truth that I am not my sin. I am not identified by my sin. I'm identified by being in Christ. And as a saint who is growing in Christlikeness, I may sin. I'm not perfect, but I'm growing in sinning less. I'm not harboring known sin. So don't view yourself by your sin. Don't view yourself by your struggle. View yourself by being in Christ. So here's the fundamental question, and then I'll leave you alone for today. Will you believe God's truth about you versus your truth about you? Will you believe God's truth about you versus your truth about you? Let me pray. Lord, I pray for the listener that you would continue to impress upon them an understanding of who they are in light of your word and how you view them. Your word sets us free. There is joy. It's better than gold. Yes, much fine gold. May we find freedom and understanding who we are because of your definition of that in our lives. Give us grace to see you through the eyes of faith and see who we are through the eyes of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.